Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Natasha, and I've got the huge privilege of preaching this evening. So I wonder what you said in response to the question, do we think Jesus wants us to have confidence in his words? Is confidence important? My answer would be saying, yes, confidence as a Christian in Jesus' words is absolutely vital, but it's not automatic. I think living with confidence in the message of Jesus is actually a really big ask. If we take hold of it as it's meant to be taken hold of, we're asking him to change our whole lives. To hold on to Jesus' message with confidence is to give over control of our lives to Jesus. So that's a big ask for anyone. And it's an even bigger ask if you struggle with your mental health. I'm going to tell you a story about someone who did. This is a story of a girl who was brought up in a Christian home. And she would have called herself a Christian until her late teens, when she discovered boys and sex and drinking and parties and travel. And suddenly, Christianity became one option among many others. When this girl went to university, she discovered that this God of her upbringing didn't actually want to let go of her. She kept coming across people calling themselves Christians. But these Christians were the real deal, because these Christians were confident in Jesus' message. Despite her best efforts, this girl couldn't keep them away. As she watched, she recognized they had what she wanted. And so she prayed for what they had and for Jesus to come in and take over. But it wasn't easy for her to believe in grace, and she began to punish herself. Soon she found she was the victim of a vicious disease called anorexia. She started to control and limit every mouthful she took. She lost 3 stone and she became a shadow of herself. She didn't want to go out or see anyone. She crouched inwards and her world became small. And all she knew was that this amazing message of Jesus that she was trying to take hold of was just too big for her to completely trust. Because trusting meant losing control. And control was the thing that meant she could manage this whole crazy Christian thing she was trying to commit to. One day, someone wise challenged this girl. They said, "You're actually not living in the fullness of the message of hope to which you say you're committed if you're a Christian. All the time you're holding on to control of your life, control of your eating, is time you're not allowing God to be the one in charge." That was hard for a perfectionist like this girl to hear, because actually she'd been trying her best to show God that she meant what she said by controlling everything. She was sure that by denying herself anything good, she was actually pleasing him. Well, in case you hadn't guessed, that girl was me. And in case you hadn't guessed, I am no longer anorexic. God has healed me 100%. These are good tears. I believe that my healing began when I started to have confidence that Jesus was who he said he was. As I learned to be brave enough to eat again, and as I continue to find ways that God asks me to be brave, I've learned to lean on Jesus as someone whose words are true, and I've found him to be faithful. So we're going to use tonight's Bible story to show three places where I think we can start to find confidence in Jesus. And I've highlighted these because these are actually the way that I started to find confidence in him. So these are the three ways: taking a step, wrestling in conversation, and letting Jesus be Jesus. So we're going to look at this story that Johnny read to us before the coffee break. No, after the coffee break. I put before here, but we've just had it. It's John chapter 11. If you want to open your Bibles, have a look. And the first thing that I think we need to do to find confidence is take a step. So we've got this family here, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they're some of Jesus' closest friends. We know this from what John tells us about them. In verse 3, the sisters say, "Jesus, the one you love, is sick." And in verse 5, John again says, "Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus." Now, if we believe in Jesus, we believe he loves everyone. But these guys were up there in the close friends bracket. You can read more about them in Luke chapter 10, which is the famous story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus goes to stay. And the comments he gives to both sisters show that he has a good relationship with them. But more than friendship, we also can see in this story evidence that this family recognized Jesus was something special. Mary is commended by Jesus as the one who understands what's important when she doesn't rush around trying to do everything right for him, but spends time listening to him. That's back in the story in Luke chapter 10. She's also the one, John tells us in verse 2 of tonight's reading, who pours expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wipes them with her hair. And this is an action which shows that she wants to worship him. And so it's these sisters who send for Jesus as their brother falls ill. They take a step in faith. They do so with the understanding that he will help them, maybe the hope that he will help them. At a time when they feel helpless, they turn to the one they've come to call their Lord, the one they're beginning to believe has the answers. They reach out in trust. They take a step towards him. So I believe that taking a step towards Jesus is one of the ways we can find confidence to be able to trust him. Taking a step towards someone might be the way that we start to trust their words, because we begin to recognize what they're claiming matches how they're acting. This is true of how we behave towards politicians, professors, and pastors. In order to start to place our confidence in someone's words, we need to see them walking the talk. So when we're talking about confidence in Jesus' words, maybe tonight we need to take a step towards him. And in taking that step, we're asking him if he is who he says he is when we ask him to help us. Reaching out to Jesus for help, of course, looked much simpler for those sisters than it does for us. I mean, he was just someone who was their friend staying in a house down the road. What about us this evening? Well, maybe taking a step means daring to pray, daring to say a prayer, or asking someone to help us to pray for something that we're really struggling with. Maybe it means having a closer look at who this Jesus really is, not trusting what we've always heard about him, but reading our Bible with a mind that stays open to the possibility that he's more than a good man. Like Mary and Martha, it means asking him to come and help us when we need help. For me, those years ago, it meant daring to start having counselling for my anorexia. By doing that, I was putting my trust in Jesus and asking him to start controlling me. It was really huge for me to do that. It might not seem like a huge step, but I knew that in taking that step, I was asking for change, and I was terrified. It was overwhelming, but it was a step. So taking a step is the first place of confidence. The second place I think we can see this story of finding confidence is wrestling in conversation with Jesus. As I said at the beginning, working out what it means to follow Jesus can be really difficult. In fact, if we really take hold of what he's asking us to do, it's hugely challenging. One of the testimonies this morning spoke about this. I think it was Alex saying, taking hold of what Jesus has asked us to do and taking up our cross and following him means that actually we save our life, but at the same time, we lose who we are. For a start, then, we've often already decided how we'd like our story to play out. I'm quite good at telling Jesus, I'm going to pray about something, but here's the answer, okay? I've decided already. I think the sisters in the story had done this. The same Martha that tells Jesus back in Luke chapter 10 to sort her sister out for not doing the housework has no hesitation in tonight's passage in telling Jesus what she thinks of his timing. If we look at verse 21, she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The unthinkable had happened. The thing that wasn't supposed to happen when they reached out to Jesus had played out, and Lazarus had died. So the sisters here hadn't had that behind-the-scenes snippet we get in verse 4, where Jesus explains that despite looking like death, he'll use this to show God's glory. Sometimes for us, if we've taken a step towards Jesus and our prayer hasn't been answered, or even when it feels as if things have gone from bad to worse, we might be tempted to shut any conversation with Jesus down. We may decide there's nothing more to be said, or just as we feared, he's no more than talk and he can't be trusted. I wonder if maybe that's what Mary was working through in this story. Martha comes rushing out to meet Jesus and tell him what she thinks. But verse 20 tells us that Mary stays at home. I wonder if she's struggling to work out what's going on. Jesus' words to Martha in verse 23 must have felt out of touch with her reality. And she wrestles to make what he's saying understandable for her. She says, "Lord, I think I get what you're saying, but why are you talking about this resurrection?" But then what he says in verse 25 is hugely important. This is the part of tonight's story where the message of Jesus is clearly outlined. For us tonight, I believe this part of the story is where our confidence flourishes or wilts as we choose how to respond. Let's have a look at verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" These might seem like complicated words, but what Jesus is actually revealing here is that he is the one who holds the key to life and death. He's promising them an opportunity to put their faith in him and have eternal life with him. He's asking them to continue to trust him, to believe him. By doing so, he says, they've nothing to fear about the future or about the unknown, even about death itself. I believe if Jesus can do nothing about death, then whatever else he can do amounts to nothing. It's death that's the defining boundary of our lives. It's by resting in conversation that Martha's given this amazing reassurance in this verse by Jesus. This is one of the "I am" sayings that he uses as signposts to show he's the Son of God. Now, if Martha had shut down or walked away after she said to him, "If you'd been here, everything would have been all right," if she turned and walked off instead of continuing to talk to him, she might not have heard those words. As we'll see in the next point, her confidence in allowing those words to become something she believed came about as a result of her continuing to engage with Jesus. For me today, wrestling in conversation with the God of the Bible continues to be something that means my faith is moving. I'm not moving in a straight line from A to Z in my faith, currently hovering around H. Instead, I often go like from sort of A to B to C to B to C to B to C, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm moving, I'm learning, I'm learning what it means to trust. The words of Jesus in the Bible asking me to trust him still continue to be hard for me to live out when life goes belly up. But I keep wrestling because I've had so many times when Jesus has used these words to teach me the most amazing truths about himself when I've dared to take hold of them. So often, as Mary and Martha do here, I see God has been at work behind the scenes, and I only realise it later. We've been singing that this evening. It's as I wrestle with Jesus that my confidence grows. That brings me to my final suggestion of a place where we can find confidence. We need to let Jesus be Jesus. As Jesus speaks these amazing words to Martha, how does she respond? Well, Johnny left us on a cliffhanger there, but let's look at verse 27. This is where Martha is our confidence champion. She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who was to come into the world." In other words, Jesus is the one she'd been looking for. Jesus is the one who had been promised to her people. Jesus, if he's the Son of God, can sort out anything, even when it looks impossible. By stating those words, she's letting Jesus be who he claims to be. In this wonderful statement, Martha is speaking truth, and we're getting to hear it for ourselves tonight. I don't want to leave Mary out. Mary, as I said, was back home initially and missed out on that conversation. So we already know that Mary has got a grasp of who Jesus is. Our first sight of her in this story is in verse 29, and she quickly responds to Martha's invitation to come and see Jesus. And it says, as she catches sight of him, surely she was in tears, she falls at his feet in a posture of worship. She still wants to believe he's her Lord, but her cry is from the same painful place as Martha's. Lord, if only you had been here. This time, Jesus' response is one that shows the sisters, the onlookers, and us, thousands and millions of other Christians through the years, that our confidence in Jesus lies in more than just his words. He starts to cry. His heart hurts as he recognizes the pain that death brings to all of us. And then he shows that he has the power over life and death that he talked about to Martha in verse 25. He asks Lazarus to come out of the tomb. He raises him to life. How incredible. What a confidence boost. Now, we're very unlikely to have that experience, although we might. And for some of us, death this evening may be the thing that's hurt us and is keeping us feeling as if we're far from God. But I believe that the proof that Jesus was giving the sisters here was to show them and us that he is the one we can trust. He's explained in verse 4 that this whole miracle is so that he may be glorified. In other words, it's so that we can see he is someone in whom we can have confidence. And when we ask him today, he continues to show himself. For me, that was healing from anorexia. For each of us who knows him and has learned what it means to have confidence in him, we have seen ways that he's shown us that he is who he claims to be. And of course, we see this, Mary's confidence in Jesus in the next chapter. I've already talked about her pouring this perfume on his feet, wiping them with her hair. She's a woman confident enough to worship him, to face down the cynics and the gossips, and to show us again who he is. So how do we let Jesus be Jesus? How do we reach a place where even when things seem really shaky or even devastatingly huge, we're able to have confidence? How can we look back over the years, as I can tonight, and say with confidence he can be trusted? My friend is diabetic, and when her blood sugar goes up, her pancreas doesn't kick in as it should. She gets thirsty and sleepy and foggy-headed. Without treatment, her vision becomes affected. So she carries one of these, an insulin pen. This is so that she can keep her blood sugar within a safe range. Why am I telling you that? I haven't gone crazy. It seems to me that without confidence in what we say we believe, the same thing will happen as what goes on with my friend's blood sugar levels. When hard times hit, or when we struggle to understand what we're reading, or we drift away from what we so confidently said on Sunday in front of other people, maybe that's when we need an insulin shot. So here are three insulin shots I'd like to suggest to you tonight that might help you. These are things that have helped me. First of all, keep a prayer diary. I've been keeping a prayer diary since 1997 when Pete and I went to live in Boston in the USA. I dug them out as I was writing this sermon. I've got quite a lot now. I certainly don't write it every night. In fact, sometimes I only write it every few months. I write prayers when I'm desperate. I write prayers when I'm overflowing with joy. I write prayers when I'm in pain, or those I love are in pain. I write down things I need to hold on to keep me strong when my prayers don't seem to be answered. I can't tell you how much good it's done me to look back and realize how faithful God's been to me over the years. Number two, read or listen to testimonies. I've told you a little bit of my story tonight because it's where I started to find confidence that Jesus was who he promised he would be. Reading books by people who've once been far from God, then discovered he is who he claims to be, are hugely encouraging for our confidence. But also so are the stories of other people in the pews around you tonight who have found this Jesus to be trustworthy for themselves. So why don't you find someone to ask and talk to about that? And number three, spend time with Christians who are wiser than you. It's such an amazing way to have our confidence boosted. As I walked the road of healing from anorexia, the experienced Christians who walked alongside me were completely invaluable in helping me to keep going. God has given us each other for a reason, so make the most of the opportunity and spend time with each other, particularly those that you sense are more mature or confident in their faith than you. Ask them to help you grow in confidence as you read the Bible and pray together. Rach, would you and the band like to come up now? I'm going to bring this to a close. I want to say a couple of things as I finish. This is a huge topic, and really the way that I wanted to address it tonight was by telling you how I have found confidence. Many of us have found it in different ways, but one of the things that I'm really aware of is that I've talked about mental health almost as if it's something that can be healed when we put our confidence. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and I want to be really open about that. I've told you about my mental health struggles because actually that's something many of us, and to a certain extent I still struggle with, many of us struggle with that. And that's not something to be ashamed of, but it's something to maybe ask someone to pray with you about, something to talk to someone about. We would love to talk to you about that if that's appropriate. But let me also say that this has been my experience, that Jesus does still heal today. I'd also love to say that there will be people praying, willing to pray for you at the back, or of course do ask anyone in the pews with you to pray. But to close, I'm just going to read a couple of verses about confidence from the book of Hebrews. Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, that means he's died and come to life, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. In other words, let's be confident by letting Jesus be who he claims to be. Then in verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me pray as I close. If tonight you are here and you feel as if you're settling for something less than confidence, maybe you are looking for answers. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years, but you feel shaky and wobbly and unsure. Wherever you're at, I want to pray that you understand what it means to come to Jesus, to put your trust in Jesus, to allow him to be the Son of God and to change your life. Father, teach us what it means to come to Jesus, this amazing man who called dead people from their graves, who met people and helped them to see these truths, which still for us today are life-changing and transforming. Lord, help us to have the confidence and the courage, I pray, to live in a story that's so much greater and so much more exhilarating than life without you could ever be. And thank you, Lord, for everything you've done and who you are. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.